Okay, Daf Mem, Dalet, Omed, Beis. So we discussed last time the Braisa. The Braisa said that, or it's a mission actually, anything that requires an after brocha must require a brocha rishoina. There are some things, however, that require a brocha rishoina that don't require a brocha achreina. So the Gemara said that may well be vegetables or mayim, but if you hold that all of those require brocha achreina, so what are we referring to? What is the case that there is a brocha rishoina but no brocha achreina? So the Gemara said initially mitzvahs, because mitzvahs are mechuyev with a brocha rishoina, but not a brocha achreina. The Gemara says, what about the Bnei Ma'arov in Eretz Yisrael? When they take off their tefillin, they do make a brocha of lishmor chukov. So if that's the case, we still don't know what, in fact, is the case where you make a brocha rishoina and no brocha achreina. So the Gemara's conclusion was, reyach. So let's have a look at the second Tosfos, which is the last Tosfos on this Amud. According to the Bnei Ma'arova, for the Bnei Ma'arova in Eretz Yisrael who make a brocha after their tefillin, so then what is the case? That was Gemara's question. Va'anan loy avdinon kibnei ma'arova. So Tosis immediately sets out the stall over here and says, we do not do as Bnei Ma'arova do, i.e., we make a bracha obviously prior to putting on tefillin, as we all did this morning, but not afterwards. Why? What's the difference? The davka ledidhu, it was only for them, shahoyodarkom, it was their derech, lesalkom balailo. Their derech, unlike ours, was to wear tefillin all day and only take them off at night. So they used to take them off at night. Says Tosis, if that's the case, Shaicha Brocha, well then it's appropriate for them, who took off their tefillin at night, to make this brocha of Lishmor Chukov, quote unquote. Why? Kedeksiv, as it is written, this is a pasuk in Parashas Boy. In the Parasha of Boy, it says as follows. This is, of course, the Parasha of Pesach. It says about not eating chometz, got to eat matzah. Then it says, V'hoya l'chola ois al yodcho, and it should be as a sign for you on your hand. So this is obviously referring to tefillin. And then it says the following, V'shomarto es ha'chuko hazois, and you shall safeguard this statute, l'moyado in his time, miyomim yomimo. Sounds like from day to day. Now, what is that referring to when it says it's a chukah zois? Which particular statute? Is it referring to the posuk immediately prior to that, i.e. tefillin? Or is it referring to the overall parasha, which is Pesach? That's the question. So, they clearly maintained that this is referring to tefillin. And they understood miyomim yomimo at day and not at night. So they took their tefillin off at night and they made the bracha of lishmor chukov, because precisely by removing your tefillin at night, you are in fact being mekayim this pasuk of v'shomarto es ha'chukah zois l'moyado miyomim yomimo. So therefore it's very appropriate to make the bracha which contains the words of that pasuk, i.e., Lishmoir Chukov. And that's what he says. Dafke ledidhu, only for them shoyodarkom lesalkom balailo, where it was their way to remove the tefillin at the night, shaycha, therefore it's appropriate, a brocha of the Lishmoir Chukov, quote unquote, kedeksiv, as it is written in the Torah, v'shomarto es ha'chuka azois l'moyado miyomim l'yomimo, quote unquote. Aval onu, But we, however, shemasalkin oison, we remove them, the tefillin, b'chatzi hayoim. We don't remove them at night. We remove them at day. For practical reasons, because we are less able to ensure that we have a guf noki at all times.
Why chatzi?
Yes, so chatzi just means some part during the day.
Okay.
So we put them on for part and then we take them off. So we're not taking them off at night. Therefore, it's inappropriate when we take the tefillin off to make a bracha of v'shomarto esachuka, because we're actually not doing that. If you read the pasuk till the end, it's miyomim leomimo, daytime. At night, not. So therefore, if you take your tefillin off at night, you're exactly keeping what it says in the pasuk, so it makes sense to make the bracha. But we take off our tefillin during the day, therefore it makes no sense. Period. Says Tosfos, oi, perhaps alternatively we could suggest differently. Afilu nesalkon balaylo. Even if indeed we would remove our tefillin at night, it would still be inappropriate to make that bracha. Why? There's no difference anymore between us and B'nai Ma'arava. No, there is, says Tosfos. Afilu nesalkon balaylo loy shayich chuka. It still would be inappropriate to make this bracha of lishmoir chukov, which is a reference to the posuk chuka. Why is it inappropriate? Because v'davke ledidhu, it is only for them to kosovri laylo lav zman tfilinhu. They maintain that nighttime is not a zman of tefillin. And you know where they learn it from? Umi yomim yomimo, quote unquote. Also, it comes, lemi ute leilo, is to exclude nights. Therefore, shaycha brocha dechuka. Therefore, it makes sense to make a brocha of chuka. Now, how do they translate this pasuk? They translate this pasuk that the chiyuv of tefillin is at yoim, there is no chiyuv tefillin balayla. Similarly, for example, in the way that we hold with tzitzis. Tzitzis we hold, although it's a discussion, but we hold tzitzis is lav, layla is lav zman tzitzis. The B'nai Ma'arava held that layla is lav zman tefillin. How did they know that? They actually learned it out from this very posuk of miyomim yomimo, at daytime only. Which means when they remove their tefillin at night, what are they doing? They're actually putting this posuk into practice. The very posuk that says that tefillin is a chovas hayoim and not a chovas halayla. So when indeed you take your tefillin off at night, you are exactly putting this posuk into practice. And it makes perfect sense, therefore, to make a brocha, which comprises the word from the posuk. We, however, don't do that. What does it mean we don't do that? At least we don't hold that way. Avol anan, but we, the kaim along, we hold that in fact, laila is zman tefillin. We actually hold you can be mekayim the mitzvah of tefillin at night. What about this posuk of yomim yomimo? But anan and we, now there's a change of gear survey. It says masimin, at the side they say mukmino, we establish ha posuk of v'shomarto Hachukah, etc., etc., is referring to
Pesach.
We maintain that this posuk has nothing to do with tefillin. Therefore, this posuk cannot possibly be considered as a source of the halacha that tefillin are only put on during the day and not at night, because it says yomim yomimo. This posuk has nothing to do with tefillin. This pasuk is about Pesach. So we in fact hold that Laila is a Zman Tefillin. With the obvious question being, well, if that's the case, so why don't we put Tefillin on at night? Says Taisus, Uma She'ein Onu Manichin Oison Balaila. And that which we do not, however, place Tefillin, put on Tefillin at night, is Mipnei Shema Yofiach Bohen. Because we're worried that we won't be able to keep a guf noki. And if we don't keep a guf noki, it's harder for us Therefore, we minimize our tefillin wearing time. So Tosfos now has now suggested a second reason, the difference between us and Bnei Marava. The first reason was a practical reason, and the second one was a halachic reason. The first reason was a practical reason. They take their tefillin off at night, but we don't. So how can you possibly say a bracha of Lishmer Chukov when in fact you're not even taking it off at night? The second teretz says, no, even if we would take tefillin off at night, but we're not doing so because we maintain that Laila is not the Zman of tefillin. We hold that Laila is the Zman of tefillin. Maybe we take it off because we can't keep a guf noki for such a long period of time. Therefore, this is a halachic difference, not just a practical difference.
Aren't they really the same?
No.
We take it off early because of the fact
that the dove. That's true, but do we disagree halachically with the Bnei Eretz Yisrael or not? According to the first teretz, we do not disagree with them. We agree with them. We agree we're on exactly the same page as the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. The only difference is, practically, they take their tefillin off at Laila, we take it off earlier. If you take it off earlier, you can hardly say a bracha, which talks about doing tefillin at day and not at night, when we take it off during the day. The second teretz says, no, we disagree with the Bnei Eretz Yisrael fundamentally. Halachically, we are not on the same page, because they learn that this pasuk is referring to the mitzvah of tefillin, and we say it refers to Pesach, in which case, to a certain degree, we are actually more machmir than the Bnei Eretz Yisrael. How are we more machmir? Because the Bnei Eretz Yisrael maintain that when you're supposed to have your tefillin on, only during the day. And we hold essentially day and night. We're more machmir. Practically, it's true. We don't put on tefillin the whole time. So it's just for technical reasons because we can't keep a goof knocking. Therefore, even if in theory you did take your tefillin off at night, you still can't make this bracha, because this bracha, which is based on this posuk of v'shamar to esachuka, according to us, has nothing to do with tefillin. So again, either we don't make the bracha because practically we're not taking off the tefillin at night, or as Tosfos says, that was the oy. Oy, afilu nesalkan balaylo. Even if we would take them off at night, which means there is no longer a practical difference between Bnei Eretz Yisrael and Bnei Bovel, nonetheless, says Tosfos, to the contrary, there's a huge halachic divide. They hold that Laila is not the Zman of Tefillin, and that's derived from this posuk, and therefore this posuk is the appropriate brocha. Whereas we hold that Laila is the Zman of Tefillin. This posuk has nothing to do with Tefillin, it's referring back to Pesach. Now, says Tosfos, one moment. Afal gav de anan kaim alon. De Shabbos v'yomtiv. Oh, did I miss out a line? Shemi yafiach pahen, and therefore afilu namtin. Therefore, even if we would indeed wait lesalkon to remove the tefillin ad halaylo, it doesn't matter. You still would not make this bracha. For the same reason, says Tosfos, as Afal Gav da Anan came along, we also maintain the Shabbos v'Yom Tov loves man tefillin. Afilu hachi loy mevarchinam. But we still don't make a brocha. Why don't we take our tefillin off? Why don't we make a brocha when we take our tefillin off on Fridays? When you take your tefillin off on Friday or on Erev Yom Tov, you really are now setting yourself up for a time which is not Zman tefillin. So why don't we make a bracha based on this pasuk, says Tosfos, I've told you already. Afilochi loim varchinon, the dafke ledidhu, because it's only for them, the svir lehu, they hold that chukah, quote unquote, koi atfilin, it is a reference to tfilin, and therefore mevarchin. But we hold that what's this person, what's the chukah in this pasuk referring to? Pesach. Therefore, it's totally inappropriate to make a bracha moving a tfilin. Says Tosfos, v'teida, and I'll prove it to you. You know what the proof is? Sha'arei inhu nami. What does inhu nami mean? Even they, who's they? the Bnei Ma'arava lo yoyu mevorachim elo atfilin lechudayhu. Even the Bnei Ma'arava, who make a bracha upon removing the tefillin, this isn't a general principle that they now make a bracha whenever they finish doing a mitzvah. Why is that? Mishum tiksiv behu chukah. They're only coming from this pasuk. It's not a general principle. Bnei Ma'arava, if you would ask Bnei Ma'arava, when you finish doing a mitzvah, do you make a bracha? And the answer is absolutely not. Tefillin is the exception because they happen to learn that the Shomarta Zachuka Hazois is a reference to tefillin, but it's not a general principle. Avol Ashar mitzvahs, kegoin tzitzis, v'lulav, v'sukkah, lo yoyim avorchim. When they put the lulav down, when they take their talis off, when they take their, go out the sukkah, they don't make a bracha. So why is that a proof? So what do you see? You see that the only solitary basis for making a bracha is this pasuk. Well, then therefore it follows suit. If you maintain that this pasuk is not referring to tefillin, rather it's referring to Pesach, then what's the inescapable conclusion? Then you're not going to make a bracha when you finish your tefillin either. Even the Bnei Eretz Yisrael only ever made a bracha with tefillin if they would have held it some sort of general principle. Then we could argue the point and we could say, listen, even if this pasuk is not referring to tefillin, it's referring to Pesach, but maybe there's some other source for making a bracha. Says Tosfos, it's not true. There's no other source. If there was another source for making a bracha, then they'd make a bracha after every mitzvah. They don't. The only single solitary mitzvah that they make a bracha after the performance of the mitzvah is with regard to tefillin, and that's based on their understanding of this pasuk that chukah is a reference to tefillin. We disagree with that, and we say that this pasuk is a reference to Pesach, in which case, game over. So if there's nothing to discuss. So if we have no source for making a bracha after any mitzvah, even tefillin. Problem is, says Tosfos, this leaves us off with a big question. The kosher. Says Tosfos in conclusion, 1 second. In which case we're left with a big problem. Dahava motzi l'shanuye hachi. If that's really true, that what? That even the Bnei Eretz Yisrael only make a bracha following tefillin, but not following other mitzvahs. Well, then you could have answered that. Have a motzi, we could have l'shanuye answered hachi so la'afuke shar mitzvahs afilu l'bnei ma'arava. What's Tosfos' kasha? What was the Gemara's question? What was the Gemara's question? Rabbi Yisrael, what was the Gemara's question that Bnei Ma'arava presented us? What was the kasha?
They have an example of giving, of saying a bracha after a mitzvah.
And therefore we don't understand, what does it mean in the Mishnah?
Where it says that there are no brachas.
That there are some things, Gemara says, there are some cases
where you say a bracha before
and not after. So we said food can't be that. Right. So what did we say? It's mitzvah. So what was Gemara's kasha? But Bnei Ma'arava do make a bracha after tefillin, and therefore we still haven't discovered a case of a bracha rishayna without a bracha achrayna. So Tosfos says, what are you talking about? Every other mitzvah. Why do you have to talk about reyach suddenly? Even the Bnei Ma'arava, it wasn't a general principle. If the Bnei Ma'arava would have held that it's a general principle that you make a bracha achrayna following every single mitzvah, then I understand the Gemara's kasha. Because, tell me, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, what's the case of a bracha rishayna without a bracha achrayna? Every mitzvah requires both. In which case, the Gemara has to move on now to reyach. But it turns out, says Tosfos, that it's not true. Even the Bnei Ma'arava, when did they make a bracha achrayna on mitzvahs?
Only on tefillin.
Not on sukkah, not on lulav, not on tzitzis, not on any other mitzvah. So what's the Gemara's kasha? when the Mishnah says that we have cases of a bracha rishona, not the bracha achreina, tomorrow says, what's that case? Very easy answer. Every single mitzvah in the book. Besides for tefillin and pesedah, one mitzvah is not a good example, but every other mitzvah is. So why don't the Gemara just give that answer? Much simpler than having to move on to a completely different subject of rich. That's Tosis Kasha at the end. V'kasha! Dahava motzi l'shanuye hochi. So then the Gemara could have answered just that. That when it says in the Mishnah that there are some cases of making a bracha rishon and not a bracha achrayin, a lafuk cage, you know what that's referring to? Shar mitzvahs, all other mitzvahs, afilu l'bnei marava, even according to the bnei marava, yes, it's true, they do make a bracha on tefillin, a bracha achrayin, I find, so that particular example is not a good example, but it's not an across-the-board principle. Sukkos, lulav, tzitzis, esrog, Shofar, every other mitzvah in the book, they agree you don't make a bracha achreina. So what on earth, says Tosis, is the Gemara's kasha? How can the Gemara say, oh, for Bnei Marava, we don't have a case of a bracha rishona without a bracha achreina? Of course you do, you have 10 billion cases, every single mitzvah in the Torah. Besides for tefillin, fine, true, granted, tefillin is not a good example, but everything else is. Tosis leaves it unresolved.
The fact that it's only the case of tefillin without exception to the rule, so it's not a klal then.
We didn't say it's a klal. The Mishnah didn't say it's a klal. The Mishnah says, yesh shetom bracha. There is sometimes a case. The Mishnah didn't say it's a klal. The only klal was the other way around. That where there's a bracha achreina, there's always a bracha rishayna. Kol, that was the kol. Whenever there's a bracha achreina, there's always a bracha rishayna. That's a rule. Then it says, v'yesh, it's not a rule. Sometimes you can have a bracha rishayna without a bracha achreina. Someone says, hey, gaval, what is that? It says mitzvahs. Oh, what about Bnei Marava? Same answer. Okay, one example less, not tefillin. Everything else, they agree. So that's the yesh. We didn't say it's a rule. Pala odsum. Pala odsum. It's a phenomenal kasha that he's asking over here. Tough. Okay, back into the Gemara now. Now this is a very easy Gemara, so that we can really try and move ground. And if all is being well, Be'ez Hashem, we can try and finish the Perek next week, either Sunday or Tuesday. Be'ez Hashem. Omer of Yanai. Zok Rav Yanai. Kol Shehu Kebetzo. Any food which is the size of a beitzo toivo mimenu, an egg is better than it. What does that mean? Says Rashi, kol shehu kebeitzo, ein lecha min meichel. We do not have any type of food, shiur kebeitzo, whose size is a beitzo, sheloi tehei beitzo toivo leguf mimenu, that an egg won't be better than it. In other words, all the other things being equal, if you have a food which is the size of a beitza, then a beitza itself is better for the guf than it. So if you have a piece of meat which is the size of 5 beitzim, then indeed it might be more healthy for you than a single egg. But if you have meat the size of an egg, then an actual egg is better for you for the goof than this equivalent. Says the Gemara, Ki Yasa Ravin, when Ravin came along, Omar, Tova Biasa Megulgalta Mishisa Kaisi Sulta, says Rashi. Megulgalta Tsluya Lacha Verako, roasted, damp, and soft. It becomes a little bit burnt. So, as we'll see from the Hemshech of the Gemara, it's lightly roasted egg. So, Tova Biasa Megulgalta, a lightly roasted egg is better for you than mishisa, than six kaisi. What's kaisi? Says Rashi, midois machzikois lug. It's a certain measure of a lug. If you have six of those in salty, what's saltier? Flour. You should know a lightly roasted egg is better for you than six lug of flour. Says the Gemara, Kiosa Ravdimi Omar, he added, and he said, Tova biata magulgalta, a lightly roasted egg is better than mishisa.
Same thing.
Tova beasa migulgalta mishisa than six. As what? So she says, mishisa, toiva mishisa kaisi. It's better than six lug of flour. But that's all if it's lightly roasted, comma. But if it is matvisa, says Rashi, what does matvisa mean? Tsluya kosher, it is heavily roasted. Then, says the Gemara, it's better than even me arba mevusholta. It's better, says Rashi, me arba, period. So if it is lightly roasted, that's the best. It's better even than six kaisi. If it's heavily roasted, it's also pretty good, but it's not better than six. Then it's only better than four. And if it is mevushalta, it's neither lightly roasted nor heavily roasted, but rather it is cooked. Kol shehu kebeitza, anything which is the size of an egg, as we said before, beitza toivo himenu. So whenever you have anything which is cooked, then what?
It has more health benefits than anything.
More
else
health
of
benefit
size.
Is to have an egg itself, right? Beitza toivo himenu lebar mibisra, besides for meat. Meat apparently is better for you than an egg. So therefore, again, all other things being equal, you have a real egg. And a beitza the size of an egg, then a bossa the size of an egg, then bossa will be better for you. But if you have any other food, which is the size of an egg, then you can be rest assured they'd be better off having the egg itself that has more health benefits.
I'm a little confused. The cooked egg, that's cooked more aggressively than the heavily roasted egg. I'm just trying to figure out where it fits in the... Because before, the more you cooked it, the less health benefits you had. And then I'm trying to... This last example, is it more benefit or less benefit?
If it is... One second. When we spoke about lightly roasted or heavily roasted, what were we talking about? Heavily roasted what? Meat or an egg?
Egg.
Okay.
So if it's lightly roasted, that's the best. If it's heavily roasted, it's also good, but it's not as good. If it's cooked...
By roasted, I assume they mean not roasted, but a soft-boiled egg versus a hard-boiled egg, maybe. No? I don't know. I'm just...
Try this at home. Okay. You're the doctor here. Mevusholta, if it's cooked, and kol shehu kebeitza, beitza teiva himenu.
And that's the... Basically, their beginnings, their opening line.
One second. Yes, that's what that last line means. If the egg is cooked, then any other food which is the size of that cooked egg, assume that the cooked egg is better. Besides for meat. The equivalent, if you have a kibbutz-sized meat, then the meat is better for you. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Omer, afilu ochal sholok. Remember we had a discussion in the Braisa, in the Mishnah, what do you make Birkas HaMozon on? So Rabbi Akiva says, even sholok. Says the Gemara, even if it's cooked, mi ikamidi Can it be? Is there anything to have a sholak, mazoini, where a cooked vegetable is the sustains you? That's the main body of your meal. We normally have a vegetable as a side dish, as a salad. But to suggest that's going to be the main body of your meal, and that's what satiates you, such that you have to make birkas hamazon, can there exist something like that? Says the Gemara, Omar Rav Ashi, bekelach shel kruv shanu, a stalk of a cabbage. Says Rashi. Oh, we missed that one, Rashi. Mevushal te b'mayim. Allah, Omar Rav Yanai, that's what Rav Yanai was referring to when he said, the kol shu kebeitza, beitza tovim emenu. Fine. Beklach shel kruv shanu, shehu mozoin. The stalk of a cabbage can really be mozoin. The tanya lakamon, as we're going to see later on, kruv lemozoin. Kruv has benefits because it can be considered mozoin. Now the Gemara a little bit goes off topic. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabban on tchoil. What's tchoil? Spleen. If you have meat from the spleen, yofe l'shinayim, it's good for your teeth. But v'kosha l'bnei milayim, it's bad for your intestines. Kreshin, what's kreshin? Rashi says karati, I think it's leeks. Leek. Kreshin are the exact opposite. Koshin l'shinayim, they're bad for your teeth. But yofin l'bnei milayim, they're good for your stomach. So whichever one you have, there's always pluses, there's always minuses. Gemara will discuss this in a moment. Kol yerek chai, any raw vegetable, moirik. What does it mean, moirik mean? Says Rashi. Kol yerek chai moirik, noitel toyar haponim. It removes the color of your face, it pales you. If you have a raw vegetable, it will pale your whole countenance. Okay. The kol cotton maktin, says Rashi. The kol cotton, says Rashi, shaloi godal kol tzarkai, which hadn't grown fully. What does that mean, hasn't grown fully? Or lekamon mafarish, and later on, says Rashi, the Gemara will explain, kamo kol tzarkai, how much that is. So if you eat a small vegetable, maktin, what does maktin mean? It will shrink you. If you eat a vegetable that hasn't reached its full size, then it'll make you not reach full size, right?
Stunt your growth.
The kol nefesh, meshiv es ha-nefesh. What does that mean, says Rashi? Dovor nefesh, kol nefesh, dovor chai, not a vegetable. Dovor chai, a live thing, ha-nechal sholeim, which is eaten whole, kagoin. Dogim ktanim, like small fish, shegodloi kol tzarkon, which have grown full size. Remember we said if it hasn't grown full size, then it's not very positive. It'll stifle one's growth. But if it has reached kol tzarkon, it just happens to be that it's a small fish and it's eaten live and whole. So then what does it do for you?
Not live.
Not live, sorry. I meant whole. Okay. Don't eat live fish. So if it's eaten whole, dovachai means it's raw, then what does that do for you? Meshev es hanefesh. It restores life and vitality. Says the Gemara of a kol, korayv lenefesh, also meshev es hanefesh. What does that mean, korayv lenefesh, says Rashi? Ha'oich al min abehemo b'mokoim chiyus shelo. If you eat that part of the hema, which is the part which is considered to be its life source, Olakam and Mefarish, later on will explain what exactly that's referring to. But if you eat that part of the behema, it's also Meshvis Anefesh, it'll restore vitality. Kruv Lemozoin, that's why we're quoting this brisa. You see in this brisa that Kruv eating cabbage has value, that it can serve as sustenance. The taradin lerfua. What's taradin?
Beets
are very good for their medicinal qualities. But oy loy, but woe to him. Labayis, to the home. What does it mean, labayis? Which home? Says Rashi, lekeres, to the stomach, says the Gemara. Shehalefes oyveres b'seichoy. Lefes is a turnip. Woe to the stomach that a turnip goes through. Says Rashi, oy labayis lekeres ha'oicha lefes. If anybody eats turnip, that's not very advisable. So either way, we will discuss all of these one by one. But the Gemara is clearly bringing this brisa to illustrate the point that you see that a kruv is considered mozin. So therefore, when Rabbi Kiva says that you can even make birkas hamozin over a vegetable if it was cooked and it sustains you, that's referring specifically to the kruv. Now, the Gemara discusses this one by one. Omar, we said before that tchoil is yofel l'shinayim, that spleen meat is good for the teeth, v'koshel b'nei ma'ayim, but bad for the stomach. My takante. So what's the takana? What's the remedy? In other words, I'd like to eat it because of its benefits for the teeth, but I don't want to have the side effects of the b'nei me'ayim. So is there anything I could do about it? Says the Gemara, yes. Nil ase. You should chew it. V'nishtaye, and then spit it out. Says Rashi. Nil ase koisasoi. Chew it, umashlich, and then cast it away. So, it'll be all the benefits to your teeth come about not through swallowing it, just through chewing it. The danger to your b'nei me'ayim is through swallowing it. Fine, so therefore chew it and don't swallow it. Simple as that. So that's the best way to have tchol. Now what about krishin? Krishin is much harder. Why?
That's on your teeth.
Because that's bad for your teeth and good for your stomach. So how am I supposed to get it into my stomach without chewing it? Says the Gemara, yes, there is an etzah. My takante, lish lakinu, cook it, so it becomes very, very tender, v'niv le'inu, and then swallow it whole. without having to chew it. Says Rashi, lish lakinu b'kedera harba, cook it well in a pot, shelo yitztarech, that he won't be necessary lekoisasoy b'shinov to chew it. Therefore, if it's bad for your teeth, so swallow it without chewing it. And if it's bad for your stomach, then chew it without swallowing it. Simple as that. Says the Gemara, kol yerek chai moirik. We said if you eat a raw vegetable, moirik, it draws away the color of your face. Omer Yitzchok, Besuda Rishoino Shel Achar Hakoza. This is not a general principle. When we said that raw vegetables take away the countenance of your face, it's only talking about that first Suda after bloodletting. We've discussed this before, by the way. Remember the Gemara in the previous daf? The certain rules of what you should and shouldn't eat after Hakoza. So this is one of them. Hakoza was clearly a very common thing. It's comes up in many, many Gemaras. And essentially it was considered to be very healthy. But even though it's healthy, you've got to take precautions. Because when you let blood, then you might be feeling weak. So under those circumstances, if it's the first meal after the hakoza, that's when you've got to take precautions. Do not eat raw vegetables, because that will draw away the countenance, the color of your face. Says the Gemara. V'om Rabbi Yitzchok. Another statement in the name of Rabbi Yitzchok. Kol ha'oichel yerek. Whoever eats a vegetable, koidim arba shois, before 4 hours of the day are up, osur lesaper heimenu, it is osur to talk to him. My taima mishum reicha. What's the reason? Because of
breath,
odor. What does that mean? Says Rashi. Koidem arba shois she'enoi zman su'uda. They used to eat, as is mavo in the Gemara elsewhere, they did not eat at that time 3 meals a day, they only had 2. So they didn't have an early morning breakfast. They had their first meal 4 hours into the day. So until that point, Eino Zman Suda. V'hareyach, the odor which is emitted by somebody who's had this type of food, the vegetable, kosher, is dangerous. Lebnei Odom hamasaprin imoy. To anybody who talks to him, koidem achila, before eating, shahaguf reikon, when the guf is still empty. So if you have an empty stomach, which is likely to be the case until 4 hours of the day are up, don't talk to somebody who's eaten a vegetable. Why? Because the smell that emits from his mouth is dangerous for you, apparently. It's not a healthy thing to inhale that smell on an empty stomach. And therefore, you've got to be careful. Don't talk to anybody. If you haven't eaten before Arab HaShoyz, don't talk to anybody who's eaten a Yerek. V'omar Rabbi Yitzchak, and then Rabbi Yitzchak said something else. Asur la'odom sheyoichal Yerek chai koidem Arab HaShoyz. It's a different halacha. One should not eat a raw vegetable before Arab HaShoyz. The first case was not talking about eating it. The first case was talking about inhaling it from somebody else who's eaten the Yerek. Now this somebody else may well not be on an empty stomach. But if you are, then it's unhealthy to inhale it. Now we're saying Rabbi Yitzchak said a different halacha. Rabbi Yitzchak says, in fact, you shouldn't eat a raw vegetable at all during the first 4 hours of the day. So the Gemara says there was a story. Ameima rumar zutra v'ravashi. Ameima, Mazutra, Ravashi, Havayosvi, they were all sitting together, Aisi Kamayu, and guess what? There was brought in front of them Yerek Chai Koidem Arba Shois. Now, Ameima, Ravashi, Ochoil, they did eat it, but Mazutra Loy Ochol. Omru later, they said to him, he didn't eat it. Mai Daitach, what's your opinion? Why are you not eating it? Is it because the Omer Reb Yitzchak Kol Ha'oichel Yerek Koidem Arba Shois Oser Lesaper Heimenu Mishum Reicha? Is that what you're concerned about, this first statement of Reb Yitzchak? V'ha'anan de'ko'achlinon. We, however, did eat it, and yet v'komishtois b'hadon, and yet you are talking to us. Why did you not eat this Yerek? Is it because of Rav Yitzchak's first statement that you wanted to talk to people and you knew it was dangerous to talk to other people on an empty stomach if you've just eaten the Yerek, Teich Arba Shois? Is that the reason why you didn't eat? It doesn't make any sense. Because you yourself then are guilty of exactly that, because you are now on an empty stomach because you haven't eaten. We've eaten the Yerek and you are talking to us. So what's going on? So he said, no. Omar Luhu, he said to them, Ano ke'idach de Rabbi Yitzchak. I'm coming from the second statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Why am I not eating a vegetable? Because I maintain it's dangerous. Nothing to do with the odor or anything. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, kol oichol yerek, koidem arba shois. Sorry. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak, osel odom, shi'eichol yerek, chai, koidem arba shois. There were two statements of Rabbi Yitzchak. I wasn't worried about the odor, an empty stomach, and talking to other people. That's not what I was worried. I've got no problem talking to you. But I personally don't want to eat the Yerek. Koidem Arba Shois, why? Because I'm concerned with the second statement of Rabbi Yitzchak, who said that to do that is dangerous. Says Rashi. Ke'idach de Rabbi Yitzchak sfirili. I'm worried about the actual eating of the vegetable. Avol osir lesaper. But that other is about talking to people, loy svira li, that I don't hold off. So if I've got no problem to talk to you, yes, I'm on an empty stomach, yes, you have eaten the vegetable, and according to the first Rabbi Yitzchak, it will be dangerous for me, I don't hold of that. But I do hold of the second Rabbi Yitzchak. And the second chiddush of Rabbi Yitzchak is bechlal, don't eat vegetables first thing within the day.
Can you pick and choose which
statement? Maybe he was a doctor, yeah. I don't know. Says the Gemara. We said, kol katan makdin, quote unquote. Anything which hasn't reached full size will stifle a person's physical growth. Omar of Chista, afilu gadya bar zuza. Says Rashi, what does it mean, bar zuza? It's worth a zuz, a gadi, a lamb. Kloima shomein v'toiv, meaning it's fattened and it's very, very good. Sheshavezuz, it's so good that it's actually worth a zuz. A zuz is a considerable amount of money. So what would you have thought? If it's that fattened and it's that good and that expensive, so how can that possibly stifle your growth? The answer is, it doesn't matter how big it is. It all matters how big it is relative to its full size. And at the end of the day, this gedi, I don't care, even if it's so big that it's worth a zuz, but if it's not yet full size, then it's dangerous. However,
it's in. Don't eat calves, don't eat any animal.
Right, any animal. Even
it's
a gedi,
an adult
right,
animal.
Right. So even a gedi, which is a young lamb, so it's fattened and it's good and it's expensive, so obviously it's reached some considerable size, still also to eat. Also, whatever, it's dangerous. However, v'loy amron elo deles beiriva. That's only if it hasn't reached at least a quarter of its size. That's when this issur applies. Avol is beiriva. But if it has reached at least a quarter of its size, then less lon ba, then there's no concern whatsoever. Zok Rashi. Deles beiriva. Shaloi godal godel ad revias shaloi. It had not grown until Revias Shalai, until a quarter of its growth. Could go in Tle, like a small lamb. Revias Shalayil, which is a quarter of a large lamb. Or a Gedi, is Kedei Revias Shal Seir Godel, which is a quarter of a large goat. V'chein Kol Dovon. So to every item, it's not so important the size, rather it's important its relative size. If I don't care if it's enormous, but if it's less than a quarter of its eventual size, then that's dangerous for one's health. One or two more lines. Says the Gemara, we said before, kol nefesh, meshiv nefesh, omer a papa, afilu gildani debegili. What does gildani debegili mean? It says Rashi, dogim kitanim mo'oid. Very small fish. Umatsuyin, and they can be found being hakonim between the reeds, ba'agam in the pond. Ve'ein darkon legadil yosa. And they don't grow larger. Remember, if they do grow larger, then what? Then it wouldn't be healthy to eat them. But these are full size. They never actually get any bigger than this. Aval dag cotton, mi min dag godil. But if it's a small fish, but it comes from the species of large, which means it's still going to grow. Veloy godil roiva. And it hasn't yet grown a quarter. Then that, we've already said, that's not positive for you. To the contrary, zehu cotton maktin. That's considered small and it will stifle one's growth. Finally, kol hakorayv lenefesh, we said meshavas anefesh, what does that mean? Omer vacham hayakov unka. What is the unka? The throat. It says Rashi, tzavor, it is the neck, the throat. Mokoim beis hashchita. What does that mean, beis hashchita? Doesn't mean the slaughterhouse. It means the part of the animal where you shech the animal. The somoch lev lamaim, it's considered close to the heart and the stomach, that's why it's called korav lenefesh. And apparently it's very healthy for you to eat. Fine. Okay, we'll hold it over here, Be'ez Hashem. So I think on Sunday we can certainly aim to finish the perek with the last two tesisim, following which we'll do a chazara. From this Mishnah. And the Beis Hashem will move on if they decide to want.